chapter 7, verse 17. And in it you'll find these words. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And then I want to read it to you in the Message Bible. I think that gives it a bit more clarity as to what Paul is attempting to communicate to us through his written word. It reads, "What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise." You may be seated. God, save me from me. Say that with me. God, save me from me. Thank you so much. There's something greater in me that I can't seem to get out of me. A depth, a mystery, a wonder that lies just beyond my ability to mentally grasp and verbally articulate. There's something greater in me that calls me to reach deeper, not knowing what to look for, but knowing that I possess a hidden treasure to be shared with the world. There's something greater in me that is so unlike me that it scares and excites me all at the same time. That something far exceeds anything I've accomplished. It's more beautiful, more vibrant, more alive than I have ever been. It waits for me, wishing to endow me with more of me. For it is me. It is the unrealized me. It is the full potential me. It is the uncompromised me. It is the godly me. How do I overcome the habits of heart that hold me back like an elephant tied to a string? How do I overcome years of conditioning that have made me me, which robs me of the greater me? How do I deny the self that keeps me from being my true self? Where can I find strength? Strength, the courage that allows the something greater to escape from the prison of me and set me free. Oh, how many times I wish I had listened to that inner voice of challenge that tried to push me beyond the present limits. That inner voice that patiently waits until my mind is quiet and uncluttered and then softly speaks truth, potential, possibility, hope. That inner voice that knows me and knows me better than I know myself. That inner voice that loves me and wishes to give me more of myself, the better me, the greater me, the godly me, the eternal me. There's something greater in me that I can't seem to get out of me. A depth, a mystery, a wonder that lies beyond my ability to mentally grasp and verbally articulate. Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? God, save me from me. I wrote this piece last night as I was in my room with a blank stare for hours trying to hear what God wanted to say to us this morning. I thought I knew. I had been preparing my message for 2 weeks, but when I gathered my notes and got my thoughts together and began to write, everything went blank. I sat there for an hour and a half in a state of confused wondering. I searched old sermons. I looked through recent teachings and I wondered, what will the Lord have for me for his people on today? Nothing came. Nothing settled in my soul. I flip through the pages of the Bible in search of that very thing that resonates in my soul, that enlightens and inspires me and gets me excited about Sunday morning. But then I sat there as a dying flower in the desert. Nothing came. And so I began to write. Began to write my thoughts and write my feelings. And I wrote these words. I didn't write them for you. I wrote them for me. But by the time I got to the end of the message, it was clearly apparent that this message would be for us today. God save me from me. My sisters and brothers, the world is in an existential crisis. We don't know who we are anymore. We don't have a clue who God created us to become. We spend our entire lives trying to find ourselves while never discovering our true selves. We devote much of our lives desiring to be someone we're not, only to wake up one morning wondering, who am I and what have I done with my life? We spend our lives mimicking people we admire. We covet their gifts. We covet their talents. We covet their status. We covet their positions in life, desiring to be like them. They are our northern stars. They are the model for our lives, and we try to mimic them so that we can discover ourselves because we think that's who we ought to be. And in the process of mimicking others, we lose our true selves. We lose our authentic selves. We want things we can't afford, believing that if we wear it, if we drive it, if we eat there, if we live there, our lives will be better. But in the process, we fail to learn how to live with ourselves. I want you to know, my sisters and brothers, that the world is living a lie. Earth, Wind, and Fire tried to tell us in the 70s that the whole world is a masquerade. Everybody wears a different face. But we didn't get the message. In other words, we live our lives trying to convince others that we are something that we are not. Now, that's bad enough. But it gets even worse, my sisters and brothers, when you start to believe that you have become the person you are pretending to be. We have fooled ourselves. We are nerds trying to be gangsters. Goldfish wanting to be sharks. Sinners believing ourselves to be saints. The worst deception of all, my sisters and brothers, is that we live a life, and it's the worst deception is when we have convinced yourself that you are something that you're not. And the greater tragedy of this, my sisters and brothers, is when you lose yourself in the process of trying to find yourself. Shakespeare in his classic play, Hamlet, places on the lips of Polonius words I think are appropriate for this moment. He says, "This above all things, to thine own self be true." Don't try to mimic somebody else's life. To your own self be true. Don't become like the peer group you're associating yourself with. To your own self be true. Don't try to walk like, talk like, dress like some movie star or some rap star. To thine own self be true. You are wonderfully and uniquely made. You have been given gifts and talents that the world is looking for. But as long as you try to be like somebody else, you are not fulfilling your purpose and robbing the world of a special gift that God has given. And this is the challenge for us today, because we're like sheep. We follow a herd. We're like buffalo. We run in stocks. We're like geese that flies in flocks. And God is calling for us to be ourselves. For the real blessing of life comes when you discover yourself. That's a challenge for us, is it not? To be true to yourself? That's what my poem was all about. The difficulty in being true to myself. Now, don't be too hard on me. I know you expect me to be the superstar saint and all that, but I'm just as candid and transparent as you ever want to be. But don't be too hard on me, because the great apostle Paul was struggling with the same issue. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I do not want to do. But what I hate, that's what I do. Paul, the great preacher who wrote more of the Bible than any single author, Paul, the one who established churches all throughout Asia Minor, Paul, the one who single-handedly captured the Roman Empire with the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul is in an existential crisis. He wants to do the right thing. He knows what the right thing is. He knows the law of God, but every now and then he finds it difficult to do what he knows is right. Anybody there with Paul today? You know what the word of God, you're saved and blood bought, dipped in the blood of Jesus Christ, and you know what God requires of you, but every now and then you struggle to do what's right. What Paul and I are saying is that we understand you. We understand the challenges you have trying to do the right things in life. We both can identify with you, though we are both preachers and carriers of the light of God's love. We understand the dilemma that you're in. We understand your personal struggles, because we are all made of the same stuff. We both know what it's like to do things we don't want to do and to say things we should not have said. We both know what it's like to wonder why God allows some things to happen, like good people suffering and bad people prospering. We both struggle with the will of God in the world and why God is allowing certain things to occur. We often wonder about our own selves when we know what God requires of us, but we've often fall short of his glory. We all understand. We both know what it's like to struggle with becoming our better selves. Sometimes we win. Sometimes we lose. Sometimes we feel like a nut. Sometimes we don't. That's why the last phrase of my poem connects with Paul's passionate prayer for help. Now, Paul says it more eloquently than I do. They all are saying the same thing, expressing the same dilemma. Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? And I just simply say, God, save me from me. That's a good prayer to pray. Because no matter how we try to serve as judges of other people, no matter how we like to condemn people for what they have done or what they haven't done, when we take a closer look at ourselves, we can see that there's something flawed about us as well. Jesus says it like this. How can you get the speck out of your brother's eye when you got a log in your own eye? We all know that there's something jacked up about us. Something that is not right. We don't want to be like that. We know that we should do better, and we know that we could do better. But every now and then we ought to pray the prayer, God, save me from me. And that's a good prayer to pray. Jesus gave a parable that brings out this point. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I ain't no robber, I'm no evildoer, I'm not an adulterer, or I'm not even like this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector, Jesus noticed, stood in the distance, didn't even raise his head toward heaven, but he beat his chest and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus then gives this commentary. He says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. Here it is. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I'm going to read verse 14 from the Message Bible because it clearly makes the point that I'm trying to make here. It says, Jesus commented, this tax man, not the other, went home made right with God. And then he says this, if you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you content yourself to be a simple man and to be simply yourself, you will become more than yourself. Are y'all not shouting yet? Jesus is saying that we've got to be ourselves. Take off the mask. Be who you're made to be. This church is a free space. We come to Jesus just like we are. We don't have to put on a front or try to fool anybody to make them think that we are more than what we are. Be yourself. Somebody cry out, Lord, save me from me. Save me from me. Paul's point in Romans chapter 7 is very clear. We can't see ourselves. No matter how hard we try, we cannot discover our true and authentic selves outside of God. Outside of God, we're only fooling ourselves. Outside of God, we are simply pretenders to the human existence. Outside of God, we haven't connected with what true humanity is all about. Outside of God, we are nothing in the sight of God. And Paul says, I know what your law is, but I just can't keep it. I know the law. I teach the law. I know the law is right. But when I try as hard as I can to keep the law, I fail. When I would do good, when I try to keep your word, evil is present. After I preach your word, evil is present. When you ask me to forgive my neighbor, evil is present. When you require me to do more than I've done in the past, evil is present. I want to live saved, and I'm trying the best I can to live saved, but evil is always present. I want to be faithful, I want to do what you require of me. But evil is present. God, I just can't keep your law. I know your law is an example of who we are to be and who we will one day become, but I can't keep your law. And if my failure to keep your law will keep me out of heaven and out of your glory and your graces, then I will utterly fail. I just can't do it. God, oh wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? Oh wretched man that I am, what help is for me for salvation? When I try to do my best, I fall. I'm good here on Sunday morning, but when I leave this place, I fall. I can preach, I can shout, I can sing, I can serve, but when that's over, I fall. Oh, wretched man that I am, how will I ever be saved? That's verse 24. But in the very next verse, he doesn't waste no time to show us where our help comes from. Are you listening? He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's the answer for you and for me. Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the one that helps us to fulfill the law. He is the one that makes us all that we can be in Christ Jesus. We would be hopelessly lost if it wasn't for Jesus. We would eternally be separated from the Lord if it wasn't for Jesus. We would never discover our true selves if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Yes, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who makes all things brand new. Ain't God all right? Without Christ, I am nothing. Without the Lord, there is no way out. Without God's help, there is no glory. Without God's grace, I just couldn't make it. I can't do it on my own. I need the Lord to help me. Praise his holy name. I need the Lord to walk with me. I need the Lord to stand by me. I need the Lord to keep me strong and in his glory. Ain't God all right? I need the Lord to forgive me of my sins. I need the Lord to cleanse me of unrighteousness. I need the Lord to make things right. Ain't God all right? Say yeah, 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 oh yeah. And only the Lord will present us faultless before the exceeding presence with all of his glory and exceeding joy. Only the Lord will take our failures and make them right. Only the Lord can pick us up when we've fallen and take us into the presence of God. Only the Lord can change our name. Only the Lord can make us right. Aren't you grateful for Jesus Christ who died for our sins? Somebody over here say thank you, Lord. Somebody over here say give him glory. Somebody here wave your hand and tell God thank you. Say yeah, 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 oh yeah. God, save me from me. I'm lost without you. God, save me from me. I have no hope without you. God, save me from me. You're searching, you're looking, you're trying, you're striving. And you're trying to do it all without the Lord. As the song says, Lord, I need you to help me. And the wonderful thing about it, that as you simply cry out to the Lord, He's willing and able to help you. I know you've been searching, trying to discover your true self. You will not find it outside of the love of God. I know you're hoping and anticipating for a breakthrough, but your breakthrough only comes when Jesus breaks in. He is the one that can save you from the uttermost to the guttermost, from the guttermost to the uttermost. And He will save you today if you give your life to Him. Your only hope is in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And all of God's people said, amen, amen, and amen.